looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mookie 347 with half a dozen home runs. And he hits a high fly ball left field. Way back that goes. Forget it. It is gone. Mookie Betts striking again out of the leadoff spot to put the Red Sox in the lead 1-0. He is making that a habit.
4-3 was your final at the Rogers Center last night. Take that, Toronto. You lose two last night. One here to the Bruins, one up there to the Blue Jays. Red Sox 4-3 winners, snapping a three-game losing streak. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take your call. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, you can open up the lines right away. For those of you who have not had the opportunity to talk much baseball in the last few days, now is your chance. We've had two shortened shows here the last couple of nights, with good reason. Celtics, Bruins, lots of playoffs going on between these winter teams who've spilled into spring. And as long as they keep playing, we'll have the games right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. So that's a good thing. And in the interim, the Red Sox are doing their job too. Again, they have a chance to win the series tonight in Toronto. Chris Sale on the mound against the Blue Jays. And so as long as you keep winning series, generally you're in good shape. The only series the Red Sox have lost this year was to the Oakland A's. Every other series they have won. But what you just heard there, Mookie Betts began the game with a leadoff home run. Again, Mookie Betts led off the game with a home run. Aaron Sanchez threw him a fastball that tailed over the middle of the plate. Mookie absolutely crushed it. He crushed it for a home run. Do you realize what Mookie Betts' numbers are here in the early part of the year, Jim Murray?
MVP-esque.
I mean, you want to talk about an eye-popping start to 2018. Mookie Betts so far, 25 runs scored in 21 games, 8 home runs, 17 RBI. He has more walks than strikeouts. 12 walks, 11 strikeouts. He's batting .350. The on-base is .442. The slugging is .750 for an OPS of just under .1200. He has played, as usual, sterling defense in right field, like he always does. I mean, the guy's a terrific outfielder. He's a terrific athlete. The only thing that Mookie Betts does not have is size. That's it. The only thing he doesn't have is size. He is, you know, 5'9", 180 pounds. He's my size, Murray. Think of it that way. My size. He's actually a little taller and a little faster and a lot better looking than I am, but he's my size. Last night, Mookie Betts hit a go-ahead home run late in the game. This one, for him, was a unicorn.
He has hit 5 home runs on this road trip. High fly, right field, well hit. That's back. Grichik all the way back. That one's gone. Mookie Betts the other way. Oppo here to put the Red Sox in the lead. Mookie striking for the second time tonight to put the Sox in front.
Okay, so again, you heard Dave O'Brien say it there on the broadcast. Oppo, opposite field. Opposite field for Mookie Betts. What has been my big criticism of Mookie Betts, Murray?
He doesn't hit him to opposite field.
He does, and not that he doesn't try to, he just doesn't have the size, the strength, and the power.
Yeah.
Right? That he can't hit home runs to the opposite field, at least not with regularity. And so last night, Betts hits 2 home runs, 1 to left, 1 to right. The second one is the game winner. The Red Sox win 4-3. And again, Mookie is ripping it up. He is ripping it up. He has been the best player on the best team in baseball here in the month of April. No two ways about it. Should last night's home run suggest that he's on the verge of developing and improving still as a player?
Maybe. I mean, it's only one, you know, but it's encouraging, sure.
Okay, my answer is no. And I'm not saying you're wrong, Murray.
I can't give you a definitive yes because it's just one home run.
Yeah, and I'm not saying you're wrong. My answer is no, and I'll tell you why. Because I think last night was, again, I say a unicorn, a rarity for Mookie Betts. Do you know Mookie Betts has in his career 3 opposite field home runs? 2 of them were in Baltimore. And listen, before everyone gets their panties in a bunch, I'm not dumping on the guy. I love the kid as a player. In fact, there's a bigger problem with Mookie that I'll get to in a minute that really is a compliment to him. But he's hit three opposite home runs, opposite field home runs in his career. Two of them were in Baltimore. Last night was in Toronto. That means that zero of them have happened at Fenway Park. Okay? And Fenway Park, as we know, has a big right field. So that's number one. Number two, Baltimore, Toronto. You know what they have in common? Small right field. Baltimore's tiny, period, but really short in right field. Really short. And Toronto, the ball last night went over 328-foot mark. So if Mookie Betts played in Baltimore, sure, I'd pay him $40 million a year to play in that ballpark. If he played in Toronto, he'd be worth even more there. In Boston, he is worth a little bit less. Okay, he's worth a little bit less, offensively anyway, because he just can't hit the ball out to those bullpens. Not many right-handed batters can. However, his defensive value increases because of the space out there in right field at Fenway Park, and Mookie covers a lot of ground like a center fielder, which brings me to this. He's playing center field tonight. Jackie Bradley is out of the lineup. Benintendi's in left. J.D. Martinez is in right. Hanley's your DH. Mitch Moreland is at first base with Chris Sale on the mound. And Betts hasn't played center field, I think, in 3 years.
Since 2015.
Okay, so correct. 3 years. He has not played center field in 3 years. And this should tell you two things. First of all, he's certainly capable of doing it, okay, which we all know. Secondly, it only validates the notion or the idea that right field in Toronto is smaller and easier to play because that's where J.D. Martinez is playing tonight. Typically, the Red Sox put J.D. Martinez in left. They had him in left field in Tampa. They had him at left field at Fenway. And when I say typically, really what this comes down to is they put J.D. Martinez wherever the smallest field is.
Yeah, think of what when they were playing Miami earlier in the season and Benintendi was in left field because it's a cavern out there.
Bingo. He played right field in Miami. Absolutely right, Murray. So what we're learning is they're hiding J.D. Martinez. Okay, they're hiding him or trying to put him in a place defensively where there is as little pressure or stress on him as possible.
I believe you've called him a butcher.
He is. He is a hack in the outfield. Boy, he is a butcher.
That's smart.
So, Betts is in center tonight. But again, to me, that all sort of ties together because it does indicate that right field is the small field in Toronto. That's where Mookie hit the ball out last night. And the bigger picture with Mookie concerns his contract. Okay, concerns his contract. And we have talked about this a lot. And to me, this is a growing concern that the Red Sox have reached this point with Mookie Betts. Now in his second, or I guess this was his first arbitration year, right? So Mookie Betts has got two or three more years here. And they've tried to sign him to a long-term contract. They haven't been able to, and in fact, they haven't been able to agree on a contract period with Mookie. Which brings me to my buddy Angelo, who's in Methuen. Angelo, what do you got, pal?
Well, you already took me apart. I was going to ask you, why don't they wrap him up, like give him like, well, I don't know, maybe I'm talking out of my 7 years, 5 years, wrap him right up.
Yeah, so Angelo, listen, you raise a good question. And last year, the Red Sox offered, according to Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports, Boston Sports Journal. I almost said New England Sports Journal for some reason. Boston Sports Journal. Sean McAdam, who will actually be joining us later in the program, so we can ask him about some of this too. But according to Sean last year, the Red Sox offered Betts 5 years and $100 million. 5 years and $100 million. He told them to go pound sand. And if I were him, I'd have done the same thing. Because Mookie's worth more than that. To me, they were going to have to offer Mookie something like 8 years and $200 million. If you remember when we discussed this in the past, I think that's the number I threw out there. 8 years, $200 million. That is what they were going to have to pay to keep Mookie Betts. They offered him five and 100. He said no. They tried to sign him this year to a one-year deal to avoid arbitration. He said no. He wanted to go to the hearing. Mookie wanted to go to the hearing. He won. $10.5 million. Jimmy, help me out with the numbers. I think it was 10.5. Team offered 7.5. He said 10.5. He won. Okay? If we could double check. It's either 10 or 10.5. Last year, before the season...
He got 10.5.
Okay. Last year, before the season, they tried to sign him to a deal. He refused. And when I say refused, I don't know what he was asking for, but the number was clearly higher than what the team was, and they renewed him at $950,000, which is a big raise given where he was the year before. But the point is, Mookie has not played ball with them at the negotiating table. Meanwhile, on the field, he's playing ball like nobody in the game right now. Really. This kid's ripping the ball everywhere. And even though he does have one shortcoming as a player, again, the opposite field power, boy, he is dynamite to watch, isn't he? And when he's playing well, I don't know if there are more entertaining or dynamic, many more entertaining or dynamic players in the game. In any case, we're off and running, 617-779-0985. Mookie Betts, and can the Red Sox keep him? We'll get your thoughts next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's just the business. It's just the business of baseball. So knowing that, You don't take anything personal. You kind of take emotions out of it. And, you know, they have to take care of themselves. And you know, I have to take care of myself. And, again, like I said, there's no hard feelings. Just worry about 2018 and going out and winning some games.
So that's Mookie Betts in spring training after he went to arbitration with the Red Sox and beat them there. Everything's fine. No problems, he says. Honestly, I don't know if I believe him. I don't know any player that loves to go to arbitration against his team and vice, you know, the fact that the Red Sox did it ultimately worries me because it suggests some level of acrimony. It's just not, it's not a good sign that the Red Sox are going to arbitration with Mookie Betts. It's not a good sign. And think of it in these terms. The Red Sox came in at 7.5. Betts came in at 10.5. The arbiter has to pick one. He can't say, well, you settle in the middle. Once they go to the hearing, he has to pick one number or the other. So most sides settle on their own in the middle, which would have been $9 million. My guess is the Red Sox were willing to do that, and Mookie wasn't. And at that point, if I'm the Red Sox, just give him the 10.5. Give him the 10.5. Don't make him fight for it. Now, so what I find interesting about this is you watch Mookie on the field, and he's smiling, he's laughing, he's having a good time. They're doing the wind dance repeat thing in center field. Or when there's a bench clearing incident with the Yankees, he's taking his time running in, just not his thing. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Maybe it's that sort of attitude. I don't know. But then he gets to the negotiating table with the Red Sox, and it's on. Nope, I'm fighting for my money. And so again, they offered him 5 years and $100 million. He didn't take it. I'm sure they offered him a settlement in arbitration. He didn't take it. 2 years ago when he had no leverage and he was in the first 3 years of his service time, and they call those the 0-3 guys, the 0-3 years of service. The team can just give you whatever number they want, basically, as long as it's the minimum. And they ended up having to just sign Mookie down for $950 because he wouldn't negotiate with them on a deal. And so it feels like he's a badass when it comes to negotiating. And so that tells me there's something in his personality that is highly competitive, and there is a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And so the bad news is the Red Sox can't sign him to a long-term deal. The good news is this guy's acting like he's playing for a contract every year. He's certainly acting like it this year, because out of the gate, I don't know that there are many better players in the game right now than Mookie Betts. He is playing his ass off. Tim is in a car, wants to talk about Mookie. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, listen, you made a couple of points earlier. I just want you to clarify for me, because I want to know if they kind of go hand in hand with each other. You mentioned Mookie's 12 walks to 11 strikeouts at the plate, which lends itself to tremendous discipline. And then you in the same breath, were talking about his lack of power to the opposite field. Do you think those two go hand in hand, and he's just that good at waiting for the ball middle in? Or, you know, does he really lack that power? I guess I want to know, of his three home runs in his career to the opposite field, are those two-strike home runs? You know, those kinds of things.
So, Tim, I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question. To me, the low strikeout total, what it reflects more than anything, is Mookie's hand-eye. Okay? Mookie's hand-eye is off the charts. And you don't need me to tell you that. Just watch how fast his hands are and how hard he hits the ball. So I don't think, look, we all love to make comparisons. I don't think that this is any sort of major stretch for me to say this, but he has, I think, the best hands I have seen, the fastest hands I have seen in a guy since Nomar. I mean, Nomar had ridiculously fast hands. Okay, ridiculously fast. Nomar also hit 370 one year, whatever the hell it was, albeit during the steroid era. Mookie, I think, one year hit 350 in the minor leagues. So his big league average, I don't have in front of me at the moment, but believe me when I tell you, I could see Mookie hitting, I could see him hitting 350 in a season. His major league average, his career big league average is 294. He's hitting 350 right now. He hit 318 in 2016. So last year was really the outlier. The number was lower. The OPS was lower. The power was down. All of that, although he did have 46 doubles. But his hands, lightning. Lightning. Which is why you can't get a fastball by him on the inner part of the plate. Jim is in a... Oh, sorry. Let me try that again. Jim is in a car. Go ahead, Jim.
Matt, you know, I've called you over the years. You know I love you. And sometimes most times I agree with you. Sometimes I disagree. But I'll tell you, you nailed it today. 100% I agree with you. When I look at you, I see Mookie Betts. And I think I speak for Red Sox
yeah.
Nation.
Yeah, he's a little faster than I am, Jim.
And better looking and younger, and you know, and he has some skills. But saying all that, hey, you mentioned Toronto and Baltimore for right field power for Mookie. The one that you left out, and they can afford him, is the Yankees.
New York, right.
Right? I mean, that would be an obvious one. What a shame that would be. Very quickly, just probably a dumb question. Last Sunday, we're playing Oakland. Everything's going right for us. We have a travel day Monday, right, day off, and Alex Cora rests Mookie, and I believe Ramirez.
He did, and Eduardo Nunez.
Okay, so can you just explain it to me? Because I think he's babying these guys as far as it's the first month of the season. Are you kidding me? The next day they have the day off, and you take out three bats in the lineup. Just and I, it's hard to criticize the best record in baseball, but what do you think of that?
No, it's hard to criticize the best record in baseball, but we can do it, Jim. We're capable of it here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. So we'll find a way. Look, I get the logic with the decision on Sunday, and you say, well, you get an off day the next day. That's precisely why he did it on Sunday, because now when you sit those guys, and you sit Hanley, and you sit Betts, and you sit Nunez, now you're not giving them one day off, you're giving them two in a row. Right, so that really gives them a chance to recharge. Now, and the reality is they don't then have to play until Tuesday night in Toronto. So they go from playing Saturday night in Oakland and then not playing again until Tuesday night in Toronto. So they get almost 3 days off. Almost 3 days off, which is why the manager elected to do it on that day. And yes, he's babying them. That's one way to put it. To me, the planning for the long term, I'm okay with. I'm okay with doing it that way. I am. I'm just telling you that there's also a side effect to it in the case of some players. So the one we gave you last night was J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez in the Anaheim series before the Red Sox went to Oakland was 8 for 12. And if you add the Baltimore series on top of it, he went 5 for 12 in the Baltimore series. He was 13 for his last 24. J.D. Martinez was as hot as a pistol going into Oakland. He was white hot. Since that time until last night, he'd been 0 for 11 with 8 strikeouts. So it's as if Cora took him and turned him off. Now look, he went 1 for 2 with a couple of walks last night, but I don't know. Maybe that's something to keep in mind with J.D. Martinez going forward, that when he's hot, don't sit him because you could disrupt the whole thing. Let's go to... Matt Nakar, who wants to talk about Joe Kelly. By the way, Kelly today, his appeal was denied. His 6-game suspension was upheld, and he will formally, Murray, he will formally begin serving the suspension tonight, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, so no Joe Kelly for the next 6 games.
There goes your 8th inning guy.
But Matt is in a car. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, Maz and Murray, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I was just wondering if you think it was a little bit harsh, you know, the 6-game suspension and... you know, I've seen guys get a lot worse for less, a lot less for worse. And my second point, just to divert, is for the morning show with Fred. They got that drunken caller thing in the TD Garden after the games, and somebody said, "Oh, I can't stand that Maz." And I just want to say, Murray, Felger, and Maz—that's like my favorite segment of the day.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, listen, Matt. I appreciate you saying that. You know, if we're going to sit here every day, really, if we're going to sit here every day, 2 to 6, and in my case, during the summer, 2 to 7, and shoot our mouths off the way we shoot them off, and think that everybody is going to like us, well, then shame on us. Shame on us, Murray.
I don't care if people don't like me. If I made you feel something, even if it's negative, good. So, that's the job.
So I prefer people to hate me.
Heel Stewart back there.
So, Jimmy, the cut the caller is talking about, do you have that from last night?
Yeah, so they sent Nick Gamelli out for post-game audio, and this was just totally, like, out of the blue.
Okay, this is the short version, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Oh, God, I'm not playing 2 minutes on the baseball.
All right,
reports.
Go ahead.
Fred Tetzer refused to watch Game 7 tonight.
Honestly, I don't know about Fred. He should have watched the game, but I absolutely hate Tony Mazzarotti.
Mandatory drug testing on Fred.
Okay, so there you go. That's the clip that the caller was talking about. So he sounded, you know, yeah, the Bruins fans were pretty fired up after the game last night. I was at the Garden last night. I don't know, maybe that guy saw me walking out or something.
Were you the guy, the puddle jumper guy?
Who, me?
Yeah, there was a puddle jumper all over Twitter.
Oh, no, I had nothing to do with that. No, I had zero to do with that.
He had big traps. That's why I was confused.
What the guy who called a second ago, he asked me a baseball question. Do you remember what the hell it was?
Nope.
Yeah, nope, can't either. Handle multiple things.
I went in one ear and out the other. It's the problem. I have the attention span of a gnat.
And now he'll hate you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
As he should.
So we'll get back to your phone calls again. But to me, Mookie Betts, a fascinating study here with the Red Sox in the early part of the year. For a guy that looks as happy as he is, he sure is a hard ass at the negotiating table. And the question is, how long is this guy here for? Because he's a guy they got to keep. Of all those guys, Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts, Bradley, all the young guys, the young core, Mookie's the most important one. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And it doesn't look like he wants to sign. So I just would hate to think that it's going to be over in like 2 years, because the reality is if you get to the end of that deal and you lose him, you might be better off trading him a year early and getting something for him. Like, and that just creates a whole different scenario. We're not there yet, but when he's playing like this, it's hard to not bring up that contract.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'd like to talk about Mookie Betts. His size has nothing to do with his ability to hit the other leg. It has to do with mechanics. When he first came up, he had an inside-out swing, and he drove the ball to right field. Last year, they had him with the idea, and same with Bogarts, of pulling to left field. As a consequence, this year, he's off the plate. But a kid like Mookie Betts should be on top of the plate like Trout in Korea, because with a slightly open stance, they're able to take the outside pitch with an inside swing, inside out swing.
So, Tom, yeah, so
inside out swing, they cannot be jammed. And what he's doing now, or he has done last year, was take an outside in swing. Namely, his hands went out and came around the ball to pull it.
Tom, without getting into the mechanics of Mookie's swing, I've never said he can't hit the ball the other way. What I've said about Mookie is that he generally can't hit the ball out of the ballpark to the opposite field. Okay, that's what I have said. Without getting into the mechanics of an inside-out swing, a dead pole hitter, all that, Mookie can hit the ball the other way. Does it all the time. I mean, and in fact, I think if you go back a couple of years ago in the playoffs, he did it to a fault. I think he was so convinced that the Indians were going to pitch him away that he went up with the idea of shooting everything to the opposite field, and he missed some pitches as a result. I'd rather he hit to his strengths, which is what he's doing now. Mookie's waiting for mistakes, middle in, and then he's crushing them. But again, with Mookie, one of the interesting things to me is the fact that the Red Sox have been able to, or have attempted to sign him to long-term deals and to short-term deals, and Mookie has not signed. So let me ask Sean, let's bring in Sean McAdam now of the Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Because, Sean, I think you were the one who reported first last spring that, or last season, that they offered Mookie 5 years and $100 million, and he said no. Why can't the Red Sox sign this guy to any deal, even a one-year deal? They went to arbitration this year.
Yeah, I think those are two separate questions, Tony. But on the long-term deal, I think a couple of things. not unlike Scott Boras' clients. And as you know, Boras is a guy who advises against signing away arbitration years and free agency years, feels that it's more advantageous for the player to go year by year and clean up an arbitration. And that's particularly so with top-tier players like Mookie Betts, who, as you referenced, ended up beating the Red Sox in arbitration at $10.5 million, the kind of year he's having now. That number could close to double for next year. So at some point, when you know you're going to have those giant increases given to you either through arbitration or in the lead-up to arbitration, why end up signing away any free agency years to get that? I think another factor here is that, you know, this is one of the half dozen or eight best players in the game right now. And I think his agents understandably want to see what's going to happen with both Machado and Harper on the free agent market.
Sean, who are his agents?
It's a smaller, I think they're out of, they're part of CAA, you know, the big conglomerate.
Okay, so yeah, so look, the idea of going on and waiting and going to free agency and making the big dollars, I certainly, but look, we all get that. I mean, it makes sense. My question with Mookie is, 2 years ago, I think they had to renew his contract, Sean, at $950. This year they went to an arbitration hearing, which, frankly, you don't see all that much anymore. I mean, it doesn't happen all that often, let alone with the best player on the team. Does, in your estimation, as best you can tell, does Mookie want to stay here?
I don't think he's, I'm not straddling the fence here, Tony. I don't think he's opposed to staying here. I don't think he's unhappy. But I think, you know, for a 25-year-old guy who's emerged as one of the best players in the game, he probably wants to see what's out there. And, you know, if you end up signing away some arbitration years and free agency years, you know, you may be doing yourself a disservice with the kind of money he could command on the open market. He'll be 27, 28 when he is eligible for free agency after 2020. That's not quite 25 where both Machado and Harper are going to be this year, but it's still a guy very much in his prime.
Okay, so Sean, recognizing that this is still a little ways off, okay? I mean, they've got Mookie now for a few more years, and so there's no need to push any sort of panic button right now. But at the same time, the Red Sox have invested a lot here in the short term. Do you have any concerns about their ability to keep this guy long term?
Well, there shouldn't be any economic concerns about their ability to keep him long term. Clearly, the Red Sox are a high revenue team. They're one of the five or so most profitable teams in the game, and they cannot make the case that, you know, the Kansas City Royals or the Tampa Bay Rays can make that, well, we can't afford that level of player. You know, I think it's reasonable for fans to look at both the renewal from 2017 in spring training and then the arbitration case and wonder, is there some bad blood here that has come out of the negotiations? And from all indications on both sides, the answer is no, and yet they haven't been able to get deals done. There doesn't seem to be any outward animosity after they are done, after the renewal. The Red Sox did pay him in the $950 that they gave him in the spring training of 2017, more money than anyone of that service time had ever gotten. They didn't renew him and, you know, for the minimum. They gave him a healthy raise for someone with his service time. But still, it does beg the question, why can't they come to a negotiated settlement rather than the renewal in 17 or the arbitration case this past year?
Yeah, to me it's just something to keep an eye on, Sean. This guy's too good a player to let just walk away for nothing at the end of it. And so, you know, to me, when he's playing like this, it's just hard not to think about that. Beyond that, and let me ask you one more thing and then we'll let you go. As you watch the Red Sox here in the early part of the year, and obviously overall they're off to a tremendous start, you know, even despite the recent three-game losing streak, it's, what, 18-5 now? What I'm interested in knowing from you is the vibe around the team. Now that Farrell's gone, Cora's in there, the mix of players, J.D. Martinez, what is the whole vibe like around that team right now?
I think it is more positive. I would also caution that, you know, I felt that in spring training, but there's a honeymoon period that exists with a new manager and coaching staff. And let's face it, spring training is not exactly a high-pressure environment to begin with. Results don't matter. Guys get days off. It's a pretty casual environment where you don't have the pressures and things that happen over the course of the season. So you would expect guys to be in better moods and for the vibe to be more positive. Now, we're 23 games in, and the fact that they're 18-5 mitigates against any unease as well. If they were, you know, 10-13, would it be as positive? Probably not. You know, unless you count a three-game losing streak as any sort of stressful external factor, they haven't really felt that. It'll be interesting to see when a longer streak comes, when a player loses playing time and there's the opportunity for grousing or you know, second-guessing the manager. That's going to come. It happens at some point to every team. But the fact that they've had the success, I think, has sort of wrapped everybody up in this very positive atmosphere early on. But I will say I can't remember. Certainly, Cora is popular with the players and has connected with them. But on that same level, I hear a lot at post-game after wins with players referencing the coaching staff and going out of their way to point out how the coaches have put them in position to win, whether that's providing analytics and data prior or, you know, some sort of guidance or instruction. And that almost resonates more than the change in manager, that the coaching staff has really been embraced quickly.
All right, Sean, listen, thanks for the time. We'll catch up with you here soon.
All right, Tony, thanks.
All right, Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal. And the whole thing with the coaching staff, look, all to me it tells you, it sounds like they're buying in. It sounds like the players on the Red Sox are buying in. Okay, and that's a good sign. If they're buying into the new manager and they're buying into the coaching staff, that's all good. Okay, that can't be anything but a positive. The Mookie Betts thing in the contracts is to me worrisome, but Sean also raises a good point about the team this year. They really haven't countered any adversity yet. And so we'll find that out when they really get challenged or threatened.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz. 98.